So you have your product or service up and listed online with a price available for sale, but no one's buying. Why is that? Well, it may be because you haven't constructed your offer properly. A product and a price is not what makes an offer. Find out what does in today's episode.
Are you looking to travel with your family while making a full-time income? You're in the right place. My name is Jason Wyatt, and I'm here to help you on your journey to your journey. My goal is to help you build a completely mobile income so that you can enjoy a location-independent lifestyle. Welcome to the Touring Freedom Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to Touring Freedom. Welcome to the live stream. If you're listening on a recording, welcome to the podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, hey, welcome. Today, we're going to be going over the offer. And you may think, well, I've got a product up. I'm offering it for sale. That's an offer, right? Not so fast. It's not quite an offer. And that's why I'm titling this episode Beyond the Product, Crafting Irresistible Offers. So it's not just, you know, a product or a service plus price, and that's your offer. That's not what an offer is. An offer is a lot of things put together strategically that work together to encourage sales. You may already have an offer out there. It may be as simple as just a product or service plus price. That may be your offer. But if you do have an offer out there already, go ahead and take a close look at it after listening to this and see if you can incorporate some of the things that I'm going to go over in this presentation that I'm going to be talking about here. I said that an offer is not exactly just a product or service and a price, which is what most people think an offer is. So what constitutes an offer? Well, number one, a USP. You may have heard of a USP before. You may not. A USP stands for Unique Selling Proposition. And that stands for something your customer can get from you specifically or from your product or service that they can't get elsewhere. It's unique. It's unique to either you or your product. And it matters to people. It's something significant. It's not just some random thing. Well, I'm prettier. You know, it's not something that's just completely random. It actually matters to the customers that you're trying to attract. It could be, some element of a bonus, and we're going to go over bonuses later. Maybe the way you deliver the product, if it's digital, maybe it's a download, or maybe it's streaming, maybe it's live. Maybe if it's a physical product, maybe it's a print on demand, maybe it's in stock so they get it faster. You know, whatever it is, there's some sort of unique selling proposition that makes a material difference in your customer's life, and they care. So the next thing is bonuses that answer objections. And we kind of talked about bonuses in a previous episode, but you know, when you're creating a product, you also want to give some bonuses, gifts with purchase. Think of it that way. This helps a lot of times, especially if it's a higher priced product. But if it's an information product, your bonuses, your bonus should speak to the person who's kind of hesitant to buy. Think to yourself, what is going to buy? Put yourself in the customer's shoes and say, well, if I was thinking about this product, what's going to hold me pulling purchasing this product? Then create a product around that. Let's say you've got a product that teaches how to build forms in WordPress. Well, maybe the person that you're targeting, and this is just off the top of my head, but maybe the person doesn't know WordPress. So as a bonus, you put together a little WordPress cheat sheet that gives all the basic fundamentals about WordPress so they feel more comfortable diving into the topic that you're presenting to them because they are more familiar with the subject matter. So it may be easy to think of something relating to your product. It may not. Try to brainstorm as a customer that's hesitant. And if you have problems, bring it to somebody else. Like maybe take your sales page and let someone read your sales page and say, what
would stop you from buying this? What's going on in your brain that's making you hesitant? And take what they say and craft a bonus around that. Now, the next is training. Not everyone will be at the same experience level. So this kind of bleeds into what I was just talking about with bonus and WordPress. But not everybody's going to be at the same experience level. So you got to make sure that you're training someone that knows nothing and bringing them up to at least like the middle of the pack. Just kind of bring them up. They don't have to be enough to get by. And you know what? You don't need to teach this. You could bring in experts to teach it. You could do this live. You could do this on demand, record it and put it all up online and let them access it, you know, whenever they feel like it. You could conduct it, or you could let others conduct it. Like if you brought in that expert I talked about, you could bring your audience on, lead them through an introduction, explain what you're going to be going on, and hand it over to the expert. Or you could just say, hey, you know, you're such as today, and then just let them go and hang out with whoever that is. Either way you want to do it, that training is imperative in bringing their knowledge up to where you need it to be able to carry on with, you know, whatever the next step is, wherever you are, you know, trying to lead them to. Now, if you let others conduct this expert, you might want to let them in exchange. Like if you bring in somebody and say, just present to my group, you know, it's kind of customary to do something in exchange, and you're not going to probably. So you work out a deal. So you let them sell the product and then they get the cut of the sales, or you make sure that you're selling their product. You're promoting their product on the back end, whatever the case may be. You make sure that your arrangement with this person is completely complementary to what you have going on. And, you know, it's not competitive going back and forth. There's not friction there. It works well together. It makes sense. Both of you are happy doing it. And it's, you know, just work out some sort of arrangement. The next thing you want to do in your offer is offer case studies. When you present your offer, you want case studies. Case studies may serve two different purposes depending on what your situation is. So in my marketing business, I present case studies directly on my sales page to show people what prior clients, the results that they've gotten, explaining the scenario that they were in, the process that we took them through, and then the results they saw on the other side. That's a case study. So those case studies are part of my offer, but it's more a part of the sales page. Now, there may be other situations where you want that to actually be like a bonus in your product. So a case like that may be, say you're teaching guitar and you have some unique situations with prior students, and you want to use those as an example to your new students so that they can feel a little bit more comfortable and know which way is best for them, or whatever that may be. You know, that is a case where you might want to include case studies as a bonus or somewhere like adjacent to the product itself so that it helps teach the material. So that's just one way to expand on your offer itself is case studies. The next is interviews. So this could help this is mostly in information products, or it's pretty much just in information products. I'm thinking it could be anything else. The only other type of interview I could think of is if you turned some sort of case study into an interview in my marketing business. If I took one of my previous clients and interviewed them and talked to them about how they implemented certain things. If there was something there to learn for new clients, I might be able to include that in a product.
Most likely not, though. So most of the time, interviews are just information products. So you want to do this. This is a situation where you want to interview an expert, and they are in the field. They understand the subject matter, and they have an experience with them. You want to talk to them about their experience and let that add to your content, expand upon the information that you've already given. And that's a good case study or a good situation you want to use interviews for. That's a very good idea. Sometimes just the name recognition of the person you're interviewing could just nudge somebody off the fence and get them to buy, lead them towards buying, right? If you get some pretty big names in there, people say, oh, well, I want to hear that interview. I bet that's interesting. I bet they go over some really important topics. Let me go ahead and get that because I see value in that. Notice everything that I'm layering on here is adding value to the core product. That's the point in this portion. So the next thing we want to do is surround all these things, lay them out in a way that enhances your core product. So that may be as bonuses. That may be as modules inside the product. That may be on sales page, just like I mentioned on my some of my marketing businesses, specifically like my reputation management service. I have the case studies right there. That's part of the offer, but it's on the sales page. So just surround your core offer with these elements that I've gone over here in such a way that it makes sense for that product so that it just edges that potential customer right over the line into an actual paying customer. The last thing and the most important thing about an offer is the guarantee. Now, I could do an entire episode about the guarantee, which I'm not going to do here. But there's several different kinds of guarantees. Money back guarantee. If it's a physical product, you've got a return policy. If it's an information product, a lot of times some people, especially on higher price products or whatever, I've never done this. I don't like this, but they'll give like a contingent guarantee, like have a guarantee that has contingencies attached to it. Okay. Yes. We have a money back guarantee, but right. And then there's a contingency. You have to show us that you have made it through module 8 and you have implemented this, that, and the other thing. Show your work and show that you've actually done something. This is for people who they guarantee results with whatever their product is, and they don't want to just give money back to people that bought the product, didn't do anything, which is like 80% of the people buy an information product and never do anything with it. And they don't want to have to refund those people just because they didn't do anything. It's not on the seller. So they require certain things from the purchaser before they will approve a refund. Like I say, I've never done that. But there's plenty of people out there that do. Now, the better your guarantee, this may be an obvious statement, but the better your guarantee, the more likely they are to buy, the more comfortable they feel buying. Every single one of these elements of the offer that I've listed out here, all of this is just more things that make them feel more comfortable buying your product or service. So keep that in mind. So now we need to use those offer elements that we just discussed. A lot of those things can be used to put pressure or scarcity or urgency on that potential customer to get them to act. And don't let this make you feel icky when we discuss it. You need to have the mindset that there are certain people that you can help, and you want them to jump on your offer as quickly as possible. There are other people that product that you're offering is not right for them. And you need to know that immediately, right? You also want them to step away as quickly as possible. You don't want anybody, whether it's right for them or wrong for them,
You don't want either one him hawing around and trying to make a decision. All you're doing is helping them make a decision. That's all it is. So let's go over how to do that. So there are two elements of a good offer, and we're going to go over scarcity first. Okay. This is when there is a limited number of things available. This is obvious when it comes to physical products. If you're running out of inventory, you'll see even on Amazon, you're running out of inventory. You'll see it say, you know, only two left in stock. So that's an element of scarcity. Letting you know, go ahead and order, hurry up, because it may not last. You need to jump on this before we sell out. So scarcity is logical in the physical product world. Where it may not be as logical is in the digital product world. You may be thinking, well, it's digital. I can make as many copies as I want, and I don't need to regulate that. There's no scarcity to it because I can just duplicate it over and over and over again. Where's the scarcity? Well, let me tell you. Number one, if it's a live training, you may have a limited amount of spots available in the software platform that you're using to run that training. So that's a natural scarcity that's there for you to capitalize on. Another instance would be when you're offering support for your product. I mean, you're only one person unless you have a team. Even then, you only have so many people on your team. That only increases the amount of products you can sell or people you can let in, but you're still going to have some sort of scarcity. So whatever that number is, however many people that you think you can provide support to, and it's going to depend on the type of support you're providing. Are you just interacting in a community of some sort? Are you just providing email support? Some of my programs, I've used a program called Voxer, which is kind of a non-synchronous walkie-talkie, and asynchronous is what I'm trying to say. So I don't actually have to be signed in and respond right away. They just record a quick message, just like it's a walkie-talkie. And then whenever I sign in the next time, I'll get the message. Now, if I was signed in, I would get the message right away, and it's back and forth. But Voxer doesn't put that kind of demand, you know, on you, like answer right now. You can only have to respond when you're logged in. You can just check it at certain times like you do your email. So that's another level of service you can provide to your customers. But still, you don't want to do that for 500 people. That would be insane. So you want to limit that. These are reasons that scarcity is relevant to even digital products. And they're completely legitimate reasons to have scarcity on a digital product. Now, if you've got an ebook, you don't want to say, oh, I only have five left. Okay, that's a lie. Okay, you can print as many of these as you want. Now you may say, and to encourage somebody to act, I've got this thing on a dime. And what that means is the price rises by a dime. So you want to be one of the first ones to buy, you better hurry up and buy. I have no problem with that. That's just a way to get somebody to make that decision. Just like we discussed a while ago, you want somebody to make a decision. That's all you're going for. You're not trying to rip somebody off. You're wanting them to make a decision. If it's right for you, jump on it. And usually those people who make decisions are the people who have success with the product that you're offering. So I have no problem encouraging people to jump on it, because those people that jump on it are more likely to succeed. So one of the ways you can have scarcity is, like I just mentioned, is the dime sale is one of the ways. Another way is at a certain amount of time, or after the first 10 sell, the first 100 sell, wherever you're at in your audience, I'm going to remove one of those bonuses. So in this case, depending on what system you're using on the back end, you might have to be willing to have like a duplicate sales page ready to go, that with that bonus removed from the sales page.
so that when that number runs out, you can go to that second sales page that doesn't have that bonus listed. So if you're going to be removing anything from your offer or changing your offer in any way, you're going to need to edit or have a duplicate sales page. A lot of times these remove bonuses. It's just like hitting an X on a block of text on your sales page and then hitting save or publish. And, you know, that's easy. Another way is to remove special content. So like those interviews, say, well, these interviews with this expert, you know, they've only agreed to allow that content. This is valuable content. And this person is only, they want to keep it a little bit under wraps. So they've only allowed certain people to access that. So after a certain number, that content is going to be removed from this offer. So hurry up and buy. Another thing is we always, anytime scarcity, you heard me a while ago, talk about scarcity and urgency. In scarcity, it's always the number. So we want to remove these bonuses or this content after a certain number of products sell. That's how scarcity works. I mentioned you may need different delivery pages. I just thought about the different delivery pages, but you may need different delivery pages as well as different sales pages. So you want to remove that content from your sales page, but then on the back end, wherever your product is being delivered, you want to remove it from there as well. So now let's go over urgency. Urgency is time, right? Whereas scarcity is a limited number, urgency is a limited time. You don't want your potential client just have an unlimited time to make a decision, because if that's the case, they're just not going to make a decision. They're going to put it on the back burner and be like, oh, I'll get to this later, and then never think about it again. You don't want that. That's the worst thing that could happen, is you get put on the back burner or they leave that tab open to come back to, because they're never going to come back to it. You don't want any wishy-washy prospects, okay? You want somebody to make a decision. Either it's right for them or not. And one way to do that is urgency. Give them a time limit. Again, at a certain time, remove bonuses, remove special content. And this could be layered. You know, the first 3 days, you get all these bonuses. For the rest of the week, so the next 4 days, you get these bonuses. Then you lose all the bonuses. You know, then it just, all the bonuses go away. Those were quick action bonuses for the people who acted fastest. And those aren't available anymore. So, perfectly legitimate way to use urgency. And if at all possible in your offer, and this is going to depend on your product or service, but if at all possible, you want to combine these two in your offer. So maybe the first element is urgency. Well, maybe the natural element is urgency. Hey, we've got a live training coming up. It's going on next week. You need to jump on it right now. That's urgency right there. That's a time limit. Well, if you don't, you know, by now, you might miss that live training. That's a natural time limit, natural urgency. But on top of that, you may want to say the first 10 people that sign up get this many bonuses, or you'll get a bonus call. Or one thing that I like to do is offer a recorded product that's available on demand. And for the first, you know, however many number of people, then I'll offer like a group training. And, you know, I can't be attentive to more than maybe 20 people on these kind of group trainings. So that's kind of a natural scarcity. So those are two different ways to use urgency and scarcity together. And you want to try to do that if at all possible. A lot of this may not apply to a physical product or something like that, but it's really easy to implement these things in a digital product. There are tools out there for urgency and scarcity, especially urgency. Urgency, there's Deadline Funnel, and I've done a lot of work for Deadline Funnel, as a matter of fact. but they're great, great folks over there. I highly recommend it. It's a bit on the expensive side, but there's other options too. Automate Hero, I think it is. I want to say Automate Hero is another option. It's quite a bit cheaper. There's no subscription there. There's no subscription and it's one-time purchase. But on the other hand, Deadline Funnel is a much higher quality product. But what they do is they track the person with cookies and other things like that. It gets kind of complex. But it gives each individual person a specific deadline to get them to make that decision. So it's a great way to offer urgency and make them decide. And I think the other tool I'm trying to think of, I'm pretty sure it's Automate Hero. I think they have scarcity and urgency at both at the same time. So I'm not sure. Now, when I had Deadline Funnel as a client, they didn't have scarcity at the time. They may at this point, but they didn't at that point. But I think Automate Hero does. The point is, make sure you have them both working together as much as possible. So let's talk about where you should communicate scarcity and urgency. If you're going to implement these strategies, you got to let your customer base know, right? So it may kind of start feeling slimy at first to some people. Just, you got to get over that. This is not slimy at all. When I've talked to a lot of clients that it makes them feel hypey and makes them feel like they shouldn't be doing it. Or, I don't know. It's just something you need in your marketing. So you really need to get over the uncomfortableness of using a countdown timer or something like that. When that countdown timer needs to be on your sales page, let the people know that, you know, time's running out for them to make a decision. There should be nothing, slimy about that. You're just letting them know this is the way this works. And if you don't act, you're going to miss out on, you know, whatever you're going to miss out on, whether it's the offer as a whole, which it is sometimes. Sometimes it's bonuses or, you know, whatever the case is. You know, let them know. That's what the countdown timer is there for. And I know with like Deadline Funnel, the timer will appear at the bottom of the page. And as you scroll, hit follows. It just stays at the bottom of the page. And it doesn't matter how much you scroll, it's always visible. Other timers, more rudimentary timers, they just stay in a fixed position on the page. So when you scroll, you no longer see the timer. Either way, whatever you choose to go with, let them know this offer is expiring at this time. Also in your emails, whatever you're using to communicate to your prospects outside of your sales page, however you're getting them to your sales page. A lot of times that's through email. A lot of times that may be through social media, whatever that is, you want to communicate it there. There are tools. Most of these countdown timers, if you're using a good one, it'll allow you to embed that timer in the email so that they know. And when they open that email, the timer will pop up and it'll let them know exactly how long is left in this offer. You'll also want to communicate this to any affiliates that you have, because first of all, if you're running a limited time offer like this, you want to be communicating with your affiliates every single day. Give them updates. This is what's going on. We've got one more day until this bonus drops off. Or if you're emailing your affiliates, include some swipe copy. And what that is just like some sample copy that they can email out to their people with a few changes just to customize it to them. But it just makes them, it kind of takes a little bit of work off of them coming up with some ideas of what to write about your product. You've already written it. And they can just copy that, make a few tweaks to target their audience and send it out to their audience. That's the main reason you want to be emailing your affiliates every day during one of these special offer launches. But you want to be communicating whatever scarcity or urgency elements of the campaign. You make sure that
that is in your daily email to let them know what's going on so that they can relay that to their followers, their audience, and keep the lines of communication open so that any potential buyers know that they better act. You want everybody to know. You want it to be completely clear. The last thing you want is any at the end, and it closes and somebody says, well, I didn't even know this was going to close. I thought I could come back next week. Sorry, we let you know. We let you know this way, and this way. If you didn't know, you didn't read what we sent you because it was very clear. And you want to be very, very, very clear. You never, ever want to go back on your word. You don't want somebody to come to you and say, hey, I missed this. Can I get in? No, I don't care if it's just a simple click of the mouse. What you're teaching those people is, oh, I don't have to listen to his scarcity or his urgency. It's going to be available whenever I'm ready. You know, I can put that on the back burner. Like I said, the last thing you want is for them to put it on the back burner. When you turn around and give somebody access to something that you told them that they weren't going to have access to, then you're a liar. You don't want to be a liar. If they lose respect for you and they have no reason to act on your offers. So never turn around and give somebody, I know it sounds like the nice thing to do, but you want them to know that the next time you present an offer to them, they better jump. They better make a decision, right? It's exactly what we're trying to get them to do. So all of this type of campaign is that's going to require constant ongoing communication with your customer base. During this time of a special offer launch, a lot of times you want to be communicating every day. Send that email out every day. If they don't want to be in the email, on the email list, they'll hit unsubscribe, and that's less people that you've got to pay for to email, right? The longer your email list is, or the bigger your email list is, the more money it's costing you in most cases. So if they weren't going to buy, you don't want them on your list anyway. That's not your target audience. But reminding somebody that, hey, this offer is going away. Some email programs allow them to opt out of a specific campaign. Hey, is maybe sometimes it's a special link. If you can create a special link to unsubscribe them to this specific campaign, you just put that in the email. Hey, is this offer not right for you, but you still want to be up to date on other offers? Click here. Allow them to do that, you know, but at the same time, if they are interested and they are the person that still got you on the back shelf, you want to keep on hitting them every single day until that campaign is done. Don't feel bad about it. If they consider you spam, they weren't your customer anyway. But just keep in mind that your product and a price, or your service and a price, is not an offer. That's not what constitutes an offer. Your offer is a lot of things all put together, and they work together to help your customer make a decision. Help them get off the fence. Push them over the edge.
All right, I hope you got a lot out of that, and I hope it shined a light on what exactly makes an offer. I'm sure that you learned something that you didn't know about what your offer should include. If you have any questions, I encourage you to come over to the Facebook group, join in the discussion there. You can find that at torfree.me/FB for Facebook. Plenty of fine, helpful people there that all kind of band together and help each other on this journey. Also, if you're listening on the Soundwise app, you can easily download the notes for this episode in PDF so that you can kind of go over each individual step and kind of refresh your memory so that it helps you craft your own offer. And if you're not listening on the Soundwise app, you know, any podcast app will work, but the Soundwise app specifically allows me to provide these resources to you. So that's it for this episode. My name is Jason Wyatt. I'll see you on the road.